Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Right now, we're pleased to welcome Mike Farron, who is not only a Diamondbacks host, but is a host on MLB Network Radio, The Power Alley with Jim Duquette. Mike, let's start with a big, broad paintbrush and a wide open canvas. What are a couple critical storylines that you're really anticipating as we jump back into baseball?
Well, I mean, I think one of the ones that hasn't gotten enough play is that the Boston Red Sox are on pace for, as it stands right now, 112 wins. So they're within spitting distance of having a chance at the major league record for victories in the season if they continue. The record's 116 back in 2001. And it's something that I think has gotten overlooked a little bit because they're in a bit of a dogfight in the American League East from the New York Yankees. And those teams are only separated by 3.5 games. So I do think that that's one of the more interesting storylines in the second half. I think, you know, whether or not the Seattle Mariners can hold on to a playoff spot and break the longest drought in baseball, or current playoff drought in baseball, 17 years, I think that's another storyline that's worth following. And then,
yes,
you know, really compelling races in the National League. I mean, I think all three divisions, you know, have compelling races. The Dodgers lead over the Arizona Diamondbacks. It's just a half a game. There's four teams within four games in the West. The Cubs and Brewers look like they'll be locked in a pretty good fight in Central. And the Nationals, were, you know, expected to be the top team in the NL East this year, are in third place right now and just 500 behind, you know, the upstart Phillies and Braves. So I think there are some really, really good team-related storylines going into the second half.
Mm. You mentioned that NL West race, and there are four teams separated by four games total. The Dodgers just barely took over the lead before the All-Star break, and they pick up Manny Machado. How do you like that move?
Well, I mean, I think it's a pretty significant one. You know, I work on the Diamondbacks broadcast, so I get to see that, you know, that race up close and personal. And Arizona was one of the teams that was involved in the discussions for Manny Machado. And, you know, listen, I think it brings the Dodgers back to kind of full strength. You know, they've been playing most of the season without a perennial MVP candidate in Corey Seager, and he had Tommy John surgery in May, and it cost him the year. And I think it makes a strong offense even stronger. But there are still some questions with Los Angeles. Can their starting pitching stay healthy over the remainder of the season? You know, what do they do to try and address the bullpen? I think those are key things. And I think with an Arizona team that's, you know, finally healthy for the most part, after battling a ton of injuries in the first half, that's got a chance to be a better offensive team in the second half. And they were the top pitching team in baseball in the National League, or second best behind the Dodgers last season. So I think it's got a chance to be a pretty good race with those two specifically. And you know, with Colorado and San Francisco, I think just a little behind them.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the Rockies and the Giants, because especially the Rockies made a move right before the break and won 8 of their last 10. How much faith do you have in their staying power? Because last year we had three teams from the NL West in the postseason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I like Colorado's squad. I actually really like their starting pitching group. And they got off to a slow start, and there was a really good story in a couple of stories in The Athletic over the last few weeks about a pitching summit that they basically had with manager Bud Black, with their pitching coach Steve Foster, and Mark Wiley, who's their pitching coordinator, and just trying to figure out how to get these young starting pitchers back on track. And there were different solutions for all of them, including their opening day starter John Gray, which was optioning into AAA. Now he's back. They have a very talented group there. They have a very expensive bullpen that has not pitched up to its capabilities, and I think part of it is because their starters faltered early. I think they're kind of I hate to use the term wild card when they're a wild card, the spots that are up for grabs, but they are maybe a little bit of an X factor in the postseason races, because I think that we always focus on Colorado as being good offensive teams. I don't think they're actually a great offensive team, but I do think they have really, really good starting pitching. And I think if that group, you know, performs the way that they did last year, then they could be a thorn in everybody's side, in not just the West race, but in battles for those two wild card spots in the NL.
Mike Farron is a host on MLB Network Radio, part of the Power Alley with Jim Duquette weekdays. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So what we're talking about, the National League, let's stick there for a little bit longer. Both the Phillies and the Braves have been nice surprises through that first almost 100 games. When you look at these two teams, how much do you feel like they have to worry about the Nationals behind them, who are just at 500?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to be concerned because that's a talented team that has, been without one of their best starting pitchers for a good chunk of the first half, and Steven Strasburg, and he's expected to start on Friday. And they haven't really gotten the performance that you would expect out of Bryce Harper. And, I do think Harper is poised for a much stronger second half. So, they're at 500, as you mentioned, but they're only six games behind Philadelphia and Atlanta in the loss column. They're just 5.5 games out of the division. It's certainly within striking distance for them, but they need to pitch better as a group. And it needs to be beyond Strasburg. Tanner Roark and Gio Gonzalez have been very capable, dependable starting pitchers over the course of their careers, and they haven't pitched all that well this season. And the bullpen, there was just an article in the Washington Post today talking about this, that even some of the relievers were openly critical and put their names to it as to the way that Dave Martinez handled the bullpen through part of the first half and how he may have worn them down early in the season. And they were saying maybe the communication's gotten a little bit better, but they weren't afraid to share that. And I do think that that's one of the keys for watching Washington here. I mean, this is, for the window is closing on that group, and they have not gotten out of the first round of the playoffs, with just what 96 games into the season. So with 66 games to play, they need to finish strong, and they don't really play clean baseball. They're not a great defensive team. They pitch okay. And so how can they try and clean that up? They can be able to clean it up and play more fundamentally sound in the second half, or are they just going to have to try it out talent teams and hope that's enough to get to the postseason? I think it's a big question.
At the bottom of that division are the New York Mets. If you're one of their three assistant general managers, what do you do with the pitching staff before the trade deadline, if anything?
Well, I mean, I think you have to listen to offers for whoever you can, but I think at that point I would be wondering whether or not ownership was going to give me the permission to be able to move players at this point, or if they were going to wait until they had a full-time general manager in place. None of these are rushes with guys like DeGrom or Syndergaard or even Wheeler, who's got another year of control after this year. They're moves that could be made in the winter when you have more stability in the front office. Now, that said, there's a dearth of starting pitching that's available, especially quality starting pitching at this trade deadline. And if a team does come in and is willing to overpay, then I do think you have to be open to moving them. And, they're fortunate in that, that three-headed monster in J.P. Ricciardi and Omar Minaya have opened general managers. John Rico's been the interim general manager before in New York and certainly understands the relationship between the front office and ownership there. I do think that they have to pay attention to what's going on in the market, but I think it's going to be very, very difficult to meet the price that they would have for either DeGrom or for Syndergaard. And this even in light of the fact that DeGrom's agent has basically said, hey, get us some extension or get us out of town.
Mike Farron from MLB Network Radio and a host with the Diamondbacks, spending a couple of minutes with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So when you look at the top two teams in Major League Baseball, the Red Sox, who you mentioned already, and the Astros as the defending World Series champs, by far and away, they have the best run differentials of any teams in the sport. But I'm interested in the pitching staff, Mike. Which one is more formidable, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think it's Houston's. I mean, I think Houston's starting staff is really good. And that's not to take anything away from the Red Sox group. I think they have a strong group, but I just like Houston better. And while Houston doesn't have that finisher like Craig Kimbrell with Boston, I do think that they have more relief pitching depth. I was talking to somebody there a couple weeks ago. We were just kind of talking about the trade deadline, and I was like, yeah, you guys need to add a reliever, don't you? And I was like, I think they're number one in the league in strikeout rate out of that group. They don't give up home runs. Their ERA as a group is pretty good. There's just been a lot of focus on Ken Giles' struggles because they were pretty public, and one time he punched himself in the face. And he had to have the playoffs last year. The struggling, not the punching in the face. But so I think that there's probably a little bit more attention paid to it. then it's probably worthwhile. I mean, they have had a very strong group overall. Hector Rondon has been a good closer in the past with playoff teams. He was in 2015 in Chicago and in 16 before they acquired Aroldis Chapman. So, he's a pretty good pitcher, and they have a deeper staff, I think, overall than Boston. But, boy, that would be a really, really fun league championship series if those two teams were to square off.
Although, you know, the Yankees have the third best run differential and the third best record in Major League Baseball. And it's not that no one's talking about them because they are the Yankees. Still, it seems like no matter what they do, they are struggling to keep up with the Red Sox because of that pace right before the All-Star break. So what do the Yankees need to do at the trade deadline?
Well, I think they need to add a starting pitcher. I think that's kind of been the focus. And I don't know that they need to add a star starter because their bullpen is deep enough that they can, whether it be in a one-game or five-game or seven-game series in the postseason, they're going to be able to count on those relievers to get a significant number of outs. But to me, the biggest thing is finding somebody who can get them some quality innings over the course of the final 66, 67, 68 games in order to give them a chance to run down Boston. It's a great lineup, and it is a really good bullpen. And I think Aaron Boone's done a very nice job in his first year as manager. But I think that that's really what their need is. And, you know, we're staring at something that we may not have faced before in the wild card, in this, you know, one-game wild card format, and that's that, you know, the Yankees may finish 10, if, let's say the Yankees, whether it's the Yankees or the Red Sox, they may finish 10 games ahead of the second place wild card team. Mm. Imagine what happens if they lose that game. You know what I mean? Like, this is the thing. I've been trying to point this out since it came the format came in with 2012, that at some point that's going to happen. But you have a team that has a wide, wide margin over the next best team, and they lose that game and they're going to be out. There's going to be a huge uproar, I would think, from the media and from fans and whatnot, if one of those two teams gets eliminated by, say, Seattle or Oakland in a wild card game.
Except at the same time, I like the fact that it puts a premium on winning the division. That's how you avoid it. You win your division.
Sure, and I agree that that's a positive with the current format. But I do think that a three-game series between wild card teams would likely take care of that as well.
That's a good point. We'll see. We'll see whether or not Major League Baseball it budges on that. It seems like they have lots of things they're considering to tweak the game these days. You can find Mike on Twitter at Mike_Ferrin, Ferrin. You can hear him on MLB Network Radio, Power Alley, which is middays on, on Sirius XM, which is where I always hear it. And he's along with Jim Duquette, plus a host for the Diamondbacks. You just don't get a day off this time of the year, do you?
Are you kidding? Why would I want to? It's baseball. It's football. We do it every day. That's what we're doing.
That's right. Thank you so much.
Anytime, Amy. Take care.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.